And welcome to the Teen Exec Podcast, where we explore how real people lead, stay organized, and get things done. I'm Natalia Lucas, a high school student and founder of Teen Exec, a nonprofit that helps teens build practical skills like time management, organization, planning, and leadership.
And I'm Dr. Stacy Smith, a physician at Brigham and Women's Hospital and an associate professor at Harvard Medical School, and also Natalia's mom. On the podcast, we talk with leaders from different fields about how they manage their time, make decisions, and lead effectively.
Today's episode is a little different. We're speaking with candidates for the Weston School Committee, people who are running for a role that directly shapes students' experiences in our schools.
We've structured this conversation into three parts. First, we'll talk about each candidate's background and how they got to where they are today. Then we'll focus on their vision and priorities for Weston Public Schools. And finally, we'll ask for their advice to teens, especially around organization, decision-making, and leadership.
Both candidates will be asked the same set of questions, and each interview is conducted separately so that we can focus on each person's perspective. Today, we are joined by candidate Steve Dietz. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks very much, Natalia and Stacy. It's really cool to be here.
To start, can you tell us a little bit about your background and what led you to run for the Weston School Committee?
Yeah, absolutely. So I grew up in Massachusetts, and so did my wife. And when we moved out to the suburbs, we actually moved to Wellesley first. And I know people can boo and hiss about that. And our oldest daughter, Abby, who's now 14, when she started to get into second and third grade in the Wellesley School District, we realized that we wanted a smaller district for her in a more intimate setting. It was really Beth who I think first sort of brought that up. And we, turns out, only lived about 500 yards from Weston. And So we started looking around, but the reason we ended up in Weston was the prime mover was the schools, and particularly having Abby, and thinking about her future. Certainly a lot of the things about Weston had appealed to us. You know, it's a much smaller feeling town, even though we're, we moved about 1,000 yards, which is funny.
Stayed pretty close.
Yeah, it was very close. We still walk by our old house all the time, but it is a very different town. And I would say that we feel like we made the right choice. And so now we really feel like we're in the town for the long haul. We have a 5-year-old too. So Heidi, I feel very old saying it, but she'll be in school for another 13 years, in Weston. Yeah. So that's quite a time period.
Yes, we'll keep it going. And can you go a bit more into what led you to run for the school committee in Weston?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say it's really two prime causes. Number one is just a sense that I wanted to contribute. I've always had, this might sound like something that is, canned or something like that. It really isn't. I had this itch that I hadn't known I needed to scratch. And, in particular, I think civic life in the U.S. in, the last couple of decades has gotten pretty negative. And I just felt like in my own little specific small way, maybe we could have an impact there. So, this obviously has a direct impact on me. What led me to the committee and when I first started thinking about running was about a year ago. I got engaged with some parents who wanted to think more deeply about how the schools use technology. And what's funny about that issue, so I work in technology. I work in software, building software all day long. I mean, in some ways, I wish I spent less time with technology, but I do. And so I think that really leads me to have like a very in-depth perspective about like where technology can be used well, and then maybe where it should be removed or just used differently. And so that was how I engaged with the committee first. And that was, those two points that I made just kind of collided. I said, oh, wow, this is interesting. Like this committee has agency on this topic that I care deeply about. And it's a way that I could actually contribute. And so that was the first seed that was planted. And then here we are. I just, the race came up and I said, now's the time.
And we know that you've had leadership experience in your professional career. And how has that experience shaped the way you think about decision making and leadership?
Yeah, and it's funny. So I've worked for startups now for 11 years, which can be extraordinarily chaotic, and you figure out that leadership might not always be what you think it is. I think that, look, so my background primarily is in a discipline called product management. And what product management is about is fundamentally, it's about listening to people and really trying to understand, not necessarily what they are literally saying. You have to understand that too, but you have to really explore, like, what do they mean? Like, what are the things that they're trying to, what are their pain points? What are their problems? And so through listening and really being, there's a great guy who's a podcast I can send to you who has this acronym called VIEW. And the last, the W in it is the word wonder, which is, it's sort of an even more, a bigger form of the word curiosity. And so that sense of wonder to me is really at the heart of product management. It's like, what is possible? And so when you say, okay, how does that relate to the school committee and leadership? I really want to bring that sense of listening and curiosity and wonder. And I, you know, if I'm totally candid, I felt like the committee last year, there were a lot of people who were very interested, but not everyone. And I've had people come to me since I started running who said that was something they hoped the committee would change and do, and have a little more wonder. And then back to your leadership question, I think a lot of people think that decisions are often made between a good thing and a bad thing, or there's a, you know, if you analyze things enough, you will see like, oh, there's clearly a choice here. And I think that's really not what it is. And certainly in my job in technology, a lot of the times you're choosing between either two good options or two bad options or three good options or something like that. And that's, again, where I would say, you know, my sense, like what I do professionally and what I want to bring to the committee is actually learning and engaging with everyone to make informed decisions. And then, yes, some of these decisions are going to be hard, but I think that's okay.
So, if you could dive a bit deeper into that, how do you best make those harder decisions, not just the good and the bad, but if you can go a bit deeper into that.
Yeah. So I'll use one example that, again, it sort of picks up on the theme of technology. I think a lot of people, you know, say make evidence-based decisions, and that's absolutely true, right? Like we should, to the greatest extent possible. But at this point, that's almost a truism, right? Like you would say, well, of course you make evidence-based decisions, yes, right? Yeah. But I think that what you need to add to that, and one of the things that at the League of Women Voters Forum a couple of weeks ago or last week maybe, I brought up is that there's a lot of research now about how technology impacts learning outcomes for kids. And that data is available to us now. It's called the PISA study that was done. It's millions of children. But the decision is not then obvious, right? Okay, we see technology is, you know, having negative correlation with learning outcomes, therefore remove technology from schools. Not at all. You have to take that evidence and then apply it to the situation in front of you. And that's what we have in the Weston school districts. I think there's opportunities for us to, it's not necessarily use more technology, but learn about how it works and find places where technology can actually make the learning more interesting and more engaging. And then there are other times, and you know, I would argue that there's lots of opportunities now to say, we're going to be completely analog and we are going to, so back to your question, Natalia, on decision-making, I think it's combining that evidence-based approach, which is extremely important when you have it, but then saying, how does that apply to the situation in front of us? And I think you put those two things together and you will come to the decision you need to make. Am I, you know, saying it's the right decision, I think, is a little judgmental.
Going a bit onto the next topic, was there a moment or experience that made you feel like this was the right time for you to step into this role?
Yeah. I mean, look, in simple terms, just because this time in my life when my kids are the ages they are and a seat is up, I want to be clear. I'm not running against Adam. This was the seat that was available. I do think that there are a couple of things that are very timely. You know, if you step back, the school committee itself, you have to ask yourself, like, what can we actually impact as a committee? Because it's not just, oh, I want to be on the committee and, you know, I want to, you know, do all these things. The reality is you can only do so many things. And I felt like, so combined with a seat was available, I felt like now was a time when we could have actual impact on issues. And it's not to say I have necessarily preconceived notions, but I think there are three things that we can have a real impact right now on. I've probably talked your ear off on technology, and so I won't belabor that, but I think we are in a fascinating moment in our society where technology is really advancing very quickly. And I think that we have to be very thoughtful about how that impacts education. I would say, you know, Natalia, like you'll be graduating, you know, into a very interesting world. And even the nature of the jobs that and the society that Weston High School graduates will be graduating into is changing every day in front of us. How do we want to, that's technology too, right? And how technology is going to impact our world. So I'll give up on the technology for a minute. The second thing is, so I've had experience, I've been really lucky that our kids have had many different great experiences with teachers and educators in Weston. Kate Rogers, a woman who's helped our daughter, Abby, really well, Mrs. Mondi, who's Ben's fourth grade teacher. Those are just two examples, people who I just think are extraordinary. But educators, teachers, administrators, they are quitting all around the world, particularly in the US. They like the job satisfaction is extremely low. And if we're going to have a great school district, right, and which I think is at the core of the community, we need to make this a place where great teachers want to stay for their career and feel like this is a community that supports education. And then look, this is a nuanced issue too, right? Because that can sometimes be code for, oh, just throw a bunch of money at the union contract, throw a bunch of money into teachers. And that's not at all what I mean. I think that, I mean, for all of us, and Natalia, you're probably have had earning jobs, and Stacey, you know this firsthand, that there are lots of things about your job that have nothing to do with how much you're paid.
Correct.
And I think we need to think as a community, what makes Weston a great place to work as a teacher? And I really think that's something that the committee can actually impact every day. The third thing is excellence. And what do I mean by that is I think Weston is rightly known as a great district, that we graduate very successfully. We have great college outcomes. You know, our MCAS scores, if you actually look at the data, are still really at the top. We do very well on a lot of the data and evidence stuff. And that is not to say that we shouldn't be a district that doesn't, you know, we also have a great reputation, and my family has benefited from this, where we support students of all different needs and backgrounds. But I think the core of that is maintaining high standards. And that's something that I really want to focus on as a district is, and, you know, even, and I won't embarrass my own children, but you know, when you have four, you get a whole range of abilities and strengths and weaknesses. And the core of that for me is to have a high standard and to say we can all achieve at a high level. People may have different pathways to getting there. People may need different levels of support, but we need to maintain high standards. And you know, dumbing that down in the, you know, to try and make people get over a bar, I think, is a mistake. And so those are the three things.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. And I think having some personal experience in it really, you know, sheds some light on, you know, opportunity in the district, certainly. And you've spoken some about your professional work already, but you've likely had to make some difficult decisions with trade-offs. How do you approach those kinds of decisions?
Well, yeah. And actually, I would say that the hardest decisions I've ever had to make really fit into two categories. One is what I would just call human decisions. You know, I've, you know, hired and let go of people across my career. It is easily the hardest thing, even in hiring in particular, that we do. And the other kind of bucket of hard decisions is what I've done with my career. Like the hardest things that I do is I have changed jobs a couple of times, and that particularly when you have you know, a lot of kids and a mortgage and stuff like that, those can be pretty freighted decisions. You know, I would simplify it back to, and I'm happy to give, you know, some examples here, but I really think, and I think it's very relevant to the committee. I mean, if I'm totally honest, I've heard some stories recently where I think just like simple kindness and listening haven't really been forward in the values. And that's where this all starts. So when you're making personnel decisions, when you're working with human beings, it goes back to that wonder from Joe Hudson. Like, you have to really want to deeply understand the people you're working with and what makes them tick. And, you know, so certainly whenever I'm hiring people, that, you know, by far the most important question for me is what are your actual life goals? Not in this job, but like, what do you want to achieve? And you might make that better by working, you know, in my company currently, or you might not, but let's make sure we're aligned from that perspective. And then on the, because you're asking about hard decisions and how do you make those things? I think it's applying uniform rubrics or standards to everyone. So oftentimes, and I won't use an example in the town, but that, you know, we say, okay, well, we've gotten to the decision, we're here, and now we need to do a lot of work to make a choice. But a lot of making good decision is in the preparation. It's in saying, okay, ahead of us is a choice about a curriculum, about a budget decision, about something like that, and saying, what is the framework under which we're going to evaluate everything? You know, for example, in a curriculum, you might have 10 things that you're looking for. And then to actually, as much as you can, quantitatively or sort of objectively evaluate those things, that doesn't make the decision for you. It just gives you the best lens at what you actually then, okay, well, what are the differences here? And then we'll probably have subjective things. I mean, that's how I've thought about changing career paths all the time. It's, you have to kind of write down your matrix and what are the decision points. And I'm probably, because people at HQO hearing this, if they ever do, would say, oh my God, people, how did Steve end up with us? But I'm often surprised when I just take the time to write down, okay, these are my actual decision criteria. You learn about the decision itself. But yeah, that would be how I would approach it.
Yeah, that's so important in decision making, making sure you plan ahead and you understand each aspect of the decision to then make your final choice. And I mean, you've already talked a bit about some of your priorities for Weston Public Schools over the next few years. How do you approach balancing different perspectives in the community when making decisions that affect our students?
Yeah, balance. You asked the question around balancing different perspectives. First, I think we have to focus on what is the proper role of the school committee? Like, what should it be doing? Or should these five human beings be up to? And, you know, my conception of the committee is very simple, that there's three things that it should prioritize. Number one is policy. Number two is the budget and everything that pertains to it. And number three is we manage the superintendent, right? Like, and that's actually legally, that's, I mean, the third part is really what we do. I say we, like I'm there, I'm not there yet, but you know, and I think particularly in, let's say, the last 10 years, I think that sense of proportion or sense of like what the school committee does has kind of gotten out of whack a little bit. And I would be upfront that I think that for me, particularly the superintendent and then all of the administrative leaders, like it's a very key partnership that we have to make robust, because we have to trust each other and the school committee has to stay where the school committee belongs, but the superintendent has to be trusted as well, that's running, you know, it can be a virtuous relationship or it can be kind of the opposite of that. Natalia, I just want to make sure I'm coming back to your question. So, I mean, I think for the committee, and honestly, this is something that has, since I announced I was running in February, I've been surprised at the number of people who've come to me. I was naive. It's pretty amazing. And being an introvert, it can be a little overwhelming at times. But I have consistently heard that, and you know, Weston is a town, it's a small town, and it's a town of people who are very intelligent and very engaged. And a lot of people said, I'm totally okay if people disagree with me, but I want to feel like there's engagement and listening from the committee. And I know that can sound like boilerplate, but I actually think it's, you know, going back to basics and just saying this is a committee that's supposed to be a representative body of the town and not just of parents in the schools. You know, we have roughly 65% of the households in town do not have students in the schools, and so we have to listen to all of those constituencies. You know, I personally think it's in the interests of those 65% of the people to have a great school district.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's something where we have to listen to all of those constituencies. And honestly, saying it out loud can sometimes feel like a dodge to you, Natalia, but I think that I don't see it 100% across the committee and across the administration. And it's something that we need to focus on, just starting from understanding people.
Now, you've mentioned that Weston is a high performing district. How do you think about maintaining strong outcomes while still continuing to improve?
I want to make this a place where if I'm a 25-year-old graduating with a master's in education, that I say, I can work for the next 30 years in Weston and be passionate about that. I actually met with today a former superintendent of Weston, and that was her career path. She all the way up through superintendent in the Weston schools. And I think that's pretty remarkable. And I don't think it's an accident that that correlates with a period, I think, of great success in the district. You know, you look at a district like Weston, and we do spend per pupil a lot of money. We really do. And in some ways, I think we ought to be proud of it, but we have to be really careful. But I think one of the things we should expect as a district is that we are a generator of educational ideas, and that we should, you know, for the money we spend, we should be a center of excellence. And I don't have a policy today to tell you about, okay, this is a place where I think we're wrong or a place where Karen's really succeeding. But I think that what we should expect is that is the character and the culture of the district. I think that across the state, people do look to Weston and still say, okay, this, like, if you graduate from Weston, that's a sign of quality. If you're a teacher here, that's a sign that you've achieved something for sure. I'm not trying to slight anyone, but that will erode if we don't focus on it. You know, like anything, if you don't maintain it, it breaks. And I think we can really stand some maintenance.
Before we go on to the executive functioning skills part of the podcast, is there one area you want to spend the most time or attention early on while you're on the committee?
Yeah, for sure. In fact, someone had a great idea. So I want to learn, honestly. And so I have 4 kids at all levels of the district, windows all the way up through the middle school. Abby will be in high school next year. But I want to learn. And again, that sounds like it's boilerplate. It really isn't. I don't know how many of the committee members have done this, but like someone suggested to me this today, and I thought it was so cool that I could maybe follow a couple students for days. Like I don't even know if I could do that legally. And I'm sure my daughters would say, absolutely no chance you can follow me. But I thought that'd be really cool, particularly in the high school where, you know, I haven't had a kid in the high school yet. And I would really like to absorb, you know, I'm trying in the last 3 months to meet literally everyone. And I hope that everyone that I can't literally meet everyone, but I would, for people who listen to this, I would really ask, you know, in our culture these days, the tendency is to work through text or work through a Facebook message or work through an electronic medium. And I think we should, as a town, work to meet each other in person. And I've gotten so much value in particular, I won't use his name, but a resident who emailed me and who assumed some things about me and was quite upset based on his assumptions. And I said, let's meet at Heirloom. Let's have some coffee. Let's talk about it. And I don't know how he's going to vote now, but I guarantee you that the next time I see him, where it's going to be friendly. And that's what I'm going for.
I love the example. I know earlier you said you're an introvert, and talking to you, it's hard to imagine the introvert because I'm seeing a data gatherer and a people person. And it sounds like you like to make those connections. You like to make those data points and you want to make them real.
Very much true. No, when my wife and I got married, the explanation, I finally understood introvert versus extrovert, and people have always said to me, Steve, you seem like you're so intra people. And like, how could you be an introvert? And it's just because it's where your energy comes from and your battery. And trust me, I can go 12-hour. I love learning and talking to people, but then I crash and I need to be alone for long periods of time. In fact, some of the people who are working on the campaign try and get a hold of me and they say, Steve, where are you? I said, not today.
Takes some time.
Yes.
And going on to our next section, we talk a lot on this podcast about executive functioning skills. From your perspective, what's one skill teens should focus on developing right now?
Yeah, I think it's really a healthy prioritization framework. And that sort of goes back to what I was saying about how to decision making. It's something that I struggle with, candidly. You know, I'm very much a instinctive actor and thinker, but something, and it can sound very boring and almost too simple to be the right answer, But I have a whole system in a program called Notion where every morning I sit down and I just try and think, what are the things that will actually matter if I get them done today? And then, the sort of canonical advice that you will hear from a lot of people is you can overestimate how much you can do in a day, but people really underestimate how much they can get done if they just work constructively time over time. And so particularly, for people coming out of high school, for people going to college, I think if you can focus on just a simple, okay, I have 25 things that I need to do. And trust me, at any phase of your life, you're going to have 25 or 40 things on that list, but have a value framework for like what is actually important to get done and write it down. Like, whether you use a notebook or I'm a software guy, so I have a software program, it really helps your thinking and reveals things that you wouldn't see otherwise.
It's so important to get things down on paper and plan ahead before you begin your day. It's a great way to start off.
The next question I was going to ask is, how do you get teens who are juggling so many activities to stay organized? And I think you answered that really in a lovely way. I know leadership can mean many different things. What does good leadership look like for a teenager in a school setting?
Yeah, and that's what... So I've thought about, and I think about this a lot too, because my daughter will be a 14-year-old or 15-year-old in her freshman year next year. The first thing, and it can sound like a platitude, but I want to emphasize it. You have to start to learn what you actually love to do. And that what that can, we have so much pressure, and this unfortunately doesn't go away as a human being, to do the things that we think others want us to do, or that we think that will make us, whether it's popular or, not have to deal with some sort of emotional pain or something like that. And I think the more that you can start to figure out, well, but what do I actually like to do? And what are the things that actually give me value? I think I was pretty typical as a kid in high school. I really struggled with that. I was a nerd and I wanted to be more seen as more, popular and athletic.
So how did you make decisions about your future then? And
well, I came to it. I was really fortunate that I had really good advisor in my senior year of high school. And he was the person who really taught me about values-based prioritization. And I sort of carried that into college. Honestly, I didn't learn a whole ton in college about that. I was very fortunate that I got, partly why I'm passionate about Weston and our high school, because I got so much before I arrived at college.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I think we can achieve that here, but yeah, back to your question, Natalia, I would say it's start to figure out who you really are. And I think that can be super hard. I think it's can be particularly super hard in a world where you have so much electronically that's coming at you about what's normative, what's popular, what's trending or something like that. And you might be surprised. Like I think that a place to end slightly nerdy is this Greek term eudaimonia, which effectively means like finding joy that is most effective. And that's what I'm really, for my kids at least, really focused on helping them get to.
Yeah, there's so much about your future that we're figuring out while we're in high school. Sometimes things can feel overwhelming or difficult to handle. What strategies have helped you stay focused and move forward in these times?
This is actually, I think, in some ways going back to what I said before, which is the prioritization matrix. And it's a good example of where, and I think for a lot of high school students, this may be comforting, but also make you feel a little nervous about later in life. This doesn't change. Like this process and this pressure that you feel, this is what we feel as adults too, right? That you get pulled off of your priorities, that you're being asked to do things that don't align to your values. And so the sooner you can get comfortable, coming up with a prioritization framework, it's going to change, as you get older and as you have different pressures on your time. But that also that helps you simply just say no to certain things. I think a lot of us feel like, and I felt this way in high school, I have to say yes to everything. I got to be part of every club. I got to, be social with every person. And in the right way to start to focus on what's important to you, that I think will reduce that feeling of, oh my God, I have to do every single thing and not prioritize.
As you get older, it's so important as you get into those later years in high school to really figure out what to focus on and what you deeply value, as you were saying.
Now, before we wrap up, we have a final question we'd like to ask. What's something that very few people know about you that you'd be willing to share with us?
So the one that I'm surprised that it surprises people when they find it out. But I'm actually very musical. I'm not going to sing for you here or anything. I'm not like a campaign song, but you know, I think you're in the tech world or, you know, my wife and I were both athletes growing up. You can be sort of boxed into certain categories. My family and my background, I still play the guitar. I played the violin. You know, it's, for me, music is like a joy, a part of life. And it's another thing that I think we're really fortunate at the Weston schools is we have this incredible music program. And I've been, you know, our kids have been really fortunate. Ben is saying he wants to, the kids all have done piano and two of them have continued. And now Ben is saying he wants to take up the saxophone. And so Beth and I are very much excited about him playing the saxophone. We're trying to figure out how we're going to fit it all in. But yeah, no, I get a lot of joy from music, but for some reason it surprises people.
Well, I'm sure we can find lots of ways to involve you in the community of music and get you
for
out
sure.
there singing.
Yes.
That's fabulous.
Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us and share your perspective. It's really helpful for students to hear directly from people who are making decisions that affect our schools.
And thanks again to Steve Dietz for joining us and for your willingness to share your insight and your expertise with the Weston community.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Teen Exec Podcast. If you found this helpful, be sure to follow the podcast and share it with someone else.